This is a test, and only a test. This has been a test of the best mocha latte podcast system. Had this been an actual coffee emergency, the tone would have been followed by instructions of where to find the nearest quality mocha latte. Because it's mocha latte time. Got a special treat coming up for you this week. We have none other than the Bean Booster himself, Jason from Kansas City's Roastery, and the Coffee Scenes from Nashville, Tennessee, Ottumwa, and Fairfield, Iowa, as well as a brand new, all new, unheard exclusive from Mod Dog coming up next. All right. So, welcome to Search for the Best Mocha Latte in the World. This is Circus Boy Nathan coming to you from the Flying Dutchman RV. This is my podcast where every week I bring you the coffee scene from on the road with the circus. So, yeah, that's right. I said circus. The circus is my day job, but I have a passion for coffee. So, I always ride my motorcycle around and looking for that best mocha latte in the entire whole wide world. So always unscripted, always unedited. I try to keep it as real as possible. None of that fake scripted reality TV stuff. This is always, I don't know, if I say something that makes me sound like I have, like a polar bear punched me in the gut, well, yeah, I put it up there. I don't edit it out. So very cool. Now I have to talk about, I've heard some confusion about last week's intro. Well, the intro of last week's podcast, and if you haven't heard it, go back and listen to it. Some people thought, was there a glitch with Nathan's computer system? Was there some kind of malfunction, you know, that with the mocha latte search? Did he have too many mocha lattes and he couldn't talk right? Well, I'll just say this without giving it away. It's a clue. And that's all I'm going to say. It's a clue. So, and there's a way to decipher it, but I'm going to say no more than that. I'm not going to say any more than that. So, yeah. Now, this week, I'm sitting in Waco, Texas, and it's warm, which is a nice change. I saw out in the circus lot today, I think just about everybody, including myself, we're all out working on our rigs. It's the first time that we've been in, man, decent weather since Florida, I guess. So it's been about a month or so, maybe a little longer than a month since we've been in Florida. As you remember, we're in Kentucky and then Indiana and then Tennessee, last week Iowa. Now we're down here in Texas, and it's, the weather's beautiful. I think it hit, 73 today. Perfect weather for washing your house and cleaning things and getting things fixed that you couldn't do when it was like 20 degrees outside. And yeah, it was quite the crazy week. We were we were in Shelbyville last week at the Celebration Fairgrounds there, and I stopped in Nashville on the way and visited another circus boy, Nathan, which you're going to hear on next week's podcast. And we got to sit down. He's a musician also, circus musician. What are the chances? Two Nathans, circus musicians. So, yeah, I know. But, yeah, he's going to be on next week's podcast. I got to sit down with him and talk about circus and coffee and life in Nashville. So, good stuff. And, he also works as a valet. And so if you ever wondered what it was like driving a Lamborghini, well, you'll have to listen into that, tune into that next week. But yeah, Nashville, and then I stopped, then we were in Iowa, Ottumwa, Iowa, and wasn't too much coffee there, unfortunately, so my espresso machine was working overtime this week, because I gotta have my espresso and coffee, you know? So, yeah, and Then on the way down, I stopped in to Texas here. I stopped in Kansas City, which, as I alluded to before, you guys are all in for a special treat wherever you're listening to around the world, because I got to sit down with none other than the Bean Booster himself, Jason, and I got to visit the roastery, Kansas City's own roastery cafe, and it's really good stuff. Now, you're probably asking, you know, what is a Bean Booster? Well, you're going to have to listen to find out. And have you ever wondered what a average Joe and Jane should look for in a quality place of coffee drinking? Or have you ever wondered, you know, we've all heard fair trade and organic thrown around as, you know, kind of buzzwords today. So what does all that mean? Well, you're going to find out in the next 15. Well, you're going to find out throughout the rest of the podcast. So just keep on listening. Here we go. Check it out. Okay, so I'm here with Jason from the roastery. Welcome to Search for the Best Mocha Latte.
Thanks a lot, Nathan. Appreciate it.
And we're sitting here, same table as where we just talked with AJ a little bit ago, in view of the beautiful GB5 La Mazurco machines, and looking out on the street here at the cafe. And it seems like you said it was a pretty good business day for you guys.
Yeah, it has been. The weather's warmed up a lot the last couple of days, and that's helped a lot. But this is usually this time of day is our slow time until about all the Catholic kids get out of school. So
that's good. Now, what would you say your clientele of the whole place is here?
Wow, it's an amazing mix. In the mornings, there's those when we open at I think it's either 6 or 7 o'clock, and I want to say 7 o'clock, and it's the business crowd that comes through here, and they're typically in a hurry. No one generally stays in and outers. And then a couple hours after that, a lot of mothers bring in their kids, and those of us, which I guess I'm kind of in that ballpark, that aren't in a hurry to get to work at 8 o'clock. So we kind of come in, and we'll spend a few more minutes in here, buy a few more pastries, and then the afternoon pretty much opens up to a lot of students, a lot of grad students, a lot of employers that work from home, bring their laptops in, and then as school lets out around 2:30, 3 o'clock, a lot of there's a lot of private schools around here. You'll get a lot of students in, and then right before dinner time, you'll get another interesting mix and get a good group in here and of adults, and then it ends up in the evening with a lot of students. And the late evenings, it's hard to find a seat a lot of times. So.
Now, your official title, is it Bean Booster? Well, explain that.
Yeah, it is Bean Booster, which is we all have bean titles over at the roastery. And Bean Booster is I'm the marketing director, so basically anything to boost the bean or boost the brand kind of falls under that umbrella. So that's me. I'm that guy.
Yeah, very cool. Now, how long have the roastery? Now, I came across you guys on MySpace, actually, which is it's kind of a cool trend that I've been noticing, that a lot of coffee shops are getting into the internet world, because increasingly a lot of their clientele is internet savvy and so forth. So how long have you guys been around, and kind of what was the, like, why did you decide to create a MySpace page?
Good question, Nathan. The company as a whole has been around 13 years, and we've always been based out of Kansas City. And actually, where the cafe is located, where we're doing this interview, the company started about 4 blocks from here in the owner, Danny O'Neill's basement. Now we're located in a part of Kansas City. It's kind of the west side of town, but in the urban area of Kansas City, and real close to Boulevard Beer Company. So also known, has great reputation in the microbrew industry. And then we opened the cafe. It'll be 2 years this October. and so about a year and a half right now. And we created we've had the roastery.com site for probably 4 or 5 years, revamped it 2 years ago, and then launched the MySpace page about less than half a year ago, and that's been a huge hit. And the reason behind that also is easier, faster to update, and then that clientele, that 30 and under clientele, and then just building a online community with other coffee roasters, and it's been great doing that. So
yeah, that's actually how I came across you guys, was that, you know, I started the page for the podcast, and I think, I can't remember if it was through like a group or a forum that I found you guys, and I don't know if it was you or someone else that said, hey, come check us out.
Yeah.
So that's what, yeah, so very cool. Now we're sitting here, I'm looking around the cafe, and I was talking, what was the young lady's name I was just talking to a minute ago?
Oh, Jess Dotson.
Yes. Okay, and she was asking what I thought about the cafe, and it's very cool. Like, I'll try to describe it for you listening, you know, because this is obviously an audio podcast, but it's kind of, I would say, almost like a, I don't know, what's the best way to describe it?
Well, our brand overall, you know, in the Midwest market, opposed to the coast, a specialty product or boutique product is harder to push here than it is in New York and L.A. and San Francisco, Miami, so forth. So, but our brand is very, I'd say it is a very boutique brand. And the look here is very, God, it is hard to describe. There's a little bit of Art Deco touch to a lot of stuff, a lot of stainless steel, with the contrast of a lot of medium woodwork and the floor, you know, we don't have any carpet. Everything is left somewhat raw but defined. As you'll see in a lot of lofts in urban areas, we have a lot of that look going on. The vents, open vents, and everything exposed, and the ceiling fans are Art Deco to match. So kind of this modern touch of Art Deco, I would say.
Yeah, I would say it's definitely Art Deco, but not like to the nth degree where it's, you know, shoved down your throat type of. It's very simple, clean, you know, with a kind of classy, I guess.
Yeah.
would be.
Yep. And I think you know, you're seeing a lot of coffee shops around the country. One thing we don't have, and we don't dislike that or love that or anything. There's no reason, but we don't have any of the old couches or old chairs and. Everything is very clean, I guess, very clean cut. So,
now, what's one of the biggest challenges you guys face? Because, I mean, obviously you're running I assume that the roasting part of it is the bigger part of the operation. Then you also have the cafe that you run. What are some of the biggest challenges that you face on both sides, the cafe and the roasting side?
Well, on the roasting side is just continuing to educate the consumer. I think because of Starbucks and this new wave of coffee shops and coffee mentality in American culture, we're getting smarter overall. But the roastery, as a lot of the top-notch specialty coffee roasting companies in the country, buy the top beans. So, you know, there's a price there, just like good clothing or good cars. You know, we don't have any cheap beans, so to say. So there's a push on education, why that's important. We give back to the farmers and the farming communities. We've created schools in several countries of origin. So, but the biggest challenge with that is just, you know, I met with someone today and they kept talking about Millstone and how much Millstone sells in some of the grocery stores. Well, we don't compare ourselves to Millstones because they're owned by Procter & Gamble and they do billions of pounds and we do millions of, you know, 5 to 7 millions of pounds. And so really it's just moving with the American culture of getting there to that point. And then here at the cafe, really our biggest challenge is, you know, it's still new, is just learning. This is our one and only flagship coffee shop. We supply to probably 200 plus coffee shops around the country that are, you know, it might be Joe and Bob's coffee shop, but they use roastery coffee. But here it's just learning as we go, with whether it's staffing, amount of tables, how to get people through the line faster and all that stuff. So,
Now, what would you say to a person who, if they're not in Kansas City and can't afford a plane ticket yet to come and visit your cafe in their own town, what should they look for in a cafe that is a sign of you know, quality and not, you know, like you were talking about, the generic, run-of-the-mill type, you know, beans and so forth.
Yeah. Now, Nathan, that's an awesome question. And we do a lot of this with our online customers. They'll ask about 80% of our online customers are outside the state of Missouri and Kansas. So they might be in Florida or, you know, Michigan or wherever, and they'll have kind of a similar question. And what we generally say, and I'll tell them to do, is go to a non-chain coffee shop. You know, definitely support your local mom and pop shop. Talk to the baristas there, those that work behind the bar. Engage them, you know, have a conversation with them and ask them about, you know, that's their job. Just like a good bartender or a good waiter or server, is that it's their job to tell you what the desserts are, what fish is, you know, available for that day, or what vodkas they have. And I want coffee shop mentality to kind of get that way too, where you can go up to the cash register and ask, what origin do you have? And they can tell you a little bit about it and why, you know, and match that with what you like. So, and overall, you're it's a win-win, because you're getting educated from that too. But definitely support locally, and then find, buy online and go to some of these websites and listen to podcasts such as yours, and find out, you know, kind of buy and find out what you like in coffee. Don't just try the you know, the one that mass produces, and then ask your barista if they carry that or who they carry and why they made that decision. And I think that's important, really important. So
now explain, I noticed on your website you talk about some fair trade and organic.
Yep.
Explain to the person who's, you know, been buying Folgers, you know, just from the local grocery store, because they didn't, you know, that's all they know about. What is, you know, you won't usually see fair trade or even organic in the coffee section of a grocery store. Can you explain in kind of like layman's terms what that is?
Yeah. Basically, I won't go on and on about this, Nathan, because I definitely can on this topic. But to sum it up in a nutshell, it's fair trade. It's giving back to the farmers, because what's happening is, and you see this a lot in different agriculture formats and communities, even in the U.S. now, that everything's mass-produced. But a lot of the specialty coffee and coffee in general that we're drinking now as American consumers at coffee shops, high-end coffee shops, is specialty. It's the farmers are giving more care to it. They're paying their employees better wages. They're taking care of them and so forth. And in return, the coffee roasters need to do the same. So Fair Trade, which is, I'm trying to think of their website, I believe it's fairtrade.org. It'll go on and on about it, but basically it's and sum it up, it's giving back. And it's also putting a label, so to say, that you can qualify each farmer or each roaster as giving back and following the rules of whether it's pesticides added to the coffee trees. For instance, I know, for example, what we do, we never ever grind our organic coffee in the same grinder that you would grind non-organic coffee. So completely keep it separated. And what you're doing is, just like any organic product, you're going with a product and that hasn't been stimulated by chemicals. And you'll have to look on the website the exact years, but the farm goes through. It's actually a pretty intense process that these farming communities have to go through to be classified as fair trade. But it's a great program overall. It's amazing.
Yeah, basically the way I understand it is there's like a set price, like a market value, and a lot of like small roasters, you know, such as yourself, I don't know.
Yeah, we're small. Yeah.
Such as yourself are actually pushing that price higher to give, you know, what for a long time has been pretty much like I don't know, like throwing pennies at them, you know, basically. And a lot of the small batch roasters are like kind of blazing a new path, really, in that, you know, what they call sustainability. So not only helping the farmers, you know, give them ways to make their crop better and, you know, last, you know, longer and make a living at it for generations to come, but also, you know, giving them what is really fair compensation rather than kind of ripping them.
Yeah.
I mean, you could say that, I guess.
Well, and that's true. That's very true. And it's a win-win situation because we want to, not just us, but other roasters want to build a relationship with these farms, whether we use them or someone else uses them, where they're still around in 3 years. You know, if you launch or release a new origin, let's say it's from Costa Rica or something, and people love it, absolutely love it, tastes great, price is right, everything's agreed upon. Well, and if that farm's not around because of the financial situation of that 3 years from now or even 2 years from now, then no one wins out of that. So, and that's the thing, you know, just like everything nowadays, you're fighting the Walmarts of the world of buying just mass and bulk, and you know, so I'm into boutique products in general, and just and coffee is a real true craft, as you know, Nathan, as you go around from coffee shop to coffee shop. That's why we don't have any push button machines here. These baristas do everything by hand, and I think the same thing with these farms. I went to 5 coffee farms in Costa Rica a little over a year ago and got to experience firsthand of these farming communities, and it's a beautiful thing. The whole family gets involved, and so it's nice to see that they're getting paid a fair share because they certainly work very hard. So
how has that changed your view of coffee, actually going, what they call going to origin, to where the coffee cherry is literally on the tree? How did that, I mean, did that totally turn your concept of what you drink in the morning?
Absolutely. It's impossible not to. It's kind of like, I lived in New York before moving to Kansas City, and I'm a huge sports fan. I hate the Yankees. Sorry for any of those podcasters out there. I can edit that out. but going to Yankee Stadium was an unreal experience. I've been to Pearl Harbor, and that was unreal. And it's, you know, it's being a football fan and going to the Football Hall of Fame. It's amazing. It's just, and it reminded me a lot of, I was born in 75, so I can't relate to this on a in real life situation. But my family's from a farming community in Missouri, and it makes me think of what that was like in the 50s and before that. The whole family would come out, and someone would, typically the mother of the group would bring an old pickup truck, bring tortillas and some kind of stew, and we'd all gather around at lunch and eat and kick the soccer ball around, and that's what it was like in Costa Rica. So, and it was just this amazing sense of community and caring and passion for the product. So, kind of like what our farms used to be like and still are, but I know that because of having family in those farming communities now, it's a lot tougher, and since the 80s, it's been harder for the American farming community. So, but there's such a passion, and I think in our culture, American culture, that if it keeps going the way it is, in another 10 to 15 years, there will be so-called safari trips to origin that American families will take and experience it just like they do Disney World. Not at the volume they do Disney World, but it will be a thing to do just like wineries, I believe.
So I hope you're enjoying that so far. I know I am. I'm sitting here with my cup of coffee, and made up a French press just for the show, of course, and have some Nutella here. And I'm just eating the Nutella straight up. If you haven't eaten Nutella before, let me put it this way: you're missing out on a major part of life. I have to say, Nutella is just, you can't even there's not words to describe it. It's just good. That's a word, in a word, good, yeah. And you can put it on bread, you can put it on crackers, fruit, even cookies. If you're feeling really decadent, you can put it on top of a chocolate bar, which is kind of over the top. But I like it with coffee. I think coffee and Nutella complement quite well. But I'm not getting paid by Nutella to sponsor this, so I'm going to move on to the coffee scene this week. And while I have my Nutella here, it's very good. I'm addicted to Nutella, but Hey, they say, you know, admitting it's the first step, right? Admitting that you're addicted. So I guess I don't think I want to recover from that addiction. So anyways, the coffee scene this week, coffee scenes, I guess you could say. As I mentioned earlier, I have five places I tried this week, and I stopped in Nashville on the way up to Iowa, and got to visit the other circus boy, Nathan. And I got to try two places. It was one of those stop and go type things. Got to hang out for the evening, and we tried two places. He took me to which he said are his two favorite in Nashville, the Portland Brew and Bongo Java. Now the Portland Brew, I believe is named after Portland, Oregon. I would assume maybe it's Portland, Maine. But it was a very cool place. You walk in, no frills, very unassuming. But you walk in and it's kind of cement floors, white walls. They have a couple cubicles for studying to kind of separate you from the rest of the people having the conversations. In the back wall, they have internet and a nice kind of private counter back there if you want to study or need to get business done on the phone or think coherently about typing an email type of thing. So very good for that. And they had a couple couches there and seats as well. And but the more importantly, the mocha latte. I wrote here latte art. Yes. Very nice drink, served in-house cup. Everything about this drink was right, and nice espresso as well, nice espresso taste. But the only thing holding it back was that it was a tad bit chocolate heavy. Otherwise, great drink. So, and it really was. I mean, it was served in an in-house warm cup, and Bruce knew his way around an espresso machine, so it was good. I gave them 4.6 beans for Portland Brew. Next is Bongo Java, and Bongo Java is definitely a college hang. It's right there by Belmont University, which is very famous for its music program and such. But very popular hangout, very kind of artsy feel to it. All the tables are individually done by an artist, a lot of art on the wall. They do have some internet access. They have a computer there that I think you can get 15 minutes for free. And it's not a huge place. They do have music upstairs, actually, because being Nashville, there's music everywhere in that city. And I wrote about their, but the mocha latte here was very disappointed. Served out of the go cup. They asked no whipped cream, no foam. Espresso tasted over pulled, so it was kind of bitter, just generic tasting chocolate. This was a sloppy drink all around. I wouldn't drink again, so I gave that 2.9 beans. Now, moving on to Iowa, many miles away, 500-600 miles away, Common Grounds. Now, Ottumwa, Iowa, where we were this week, there's only one coffee shop that I could find in town, and I had to walk there because it was, I was kind of, I shouldn't have walked. The wind chill was like 14 degrees Fahrenheit, you know, which is like minus 5 Celsius or something. It was really cold, and definitely wasn't motorcycle weather. But I did get there, tried out their mocha latte, and the cafe itself is very cool. Very kind of Midwest feel, simple, a little bit cliche coffee shop type tables and set up. Very nice people that run the place, and does have seating by the front, big front picture window where it has you can sit on stools, and they have the seating there, and you can watch the slow pace of Ottumwa, Iowa. But the mocha latte, not too exciting. They asked on whipped cream, served out of the go cup, loose foam. Espresso was iffy quality at best. Chocolate was average, just average all around, so I gave them 3.1 beans. Next up, Fairfield, Iowa. Fairfield's a little town about 20-30 miles east of Ottumwa, and I stopped at one place there kind of on the way through called Second Street Coffee House, And the place is, I think it's the only real coffee house. I was there on a Sunday night at like 8 o'clock and it was packed. So I'm assuming it's one of the few things to do in Fairfield on a Sunday evening. But they do have Wi-Fi there, and they serve food and soups and sandwiches, and that they have a small kitchen, so they can definitely get a meal there, and a lot of homemade desserts and pastries and stuff too, as well. So the mocha latte, though, I wrote here, was made on a super automatic machine, i.e., not very much barista involvement. It was served auto to go cup, Aston whipped cream, medium foam espresso was pretty much bitter. Too much chocolate, I wouldn't buy it again. So I gave that drink 2.7 beans. And last but not least is the Roastery Cafe, where you were all sitting this week, sitting in, I guess, vicariously through through the interview with the Bean Booster, Jason, there, which we're going to get back to in shortly. But the mocha latte, you heard the cafe described there in the first interview segment. So I'm just going to go right to the mocha latte. Very smooth drink. I would call this the Fonz of mocha lattes. For those of you familiar with Happy Days, if you're not, Wikipedia or Google it or something, check it out. Happy Days, it was a show on in what, the 70s maybe, and look up the Fonz. Yeah, so this is a Fonz of mocha lattes, I think. Great texture, and great mouth texture. Smooth, very smooth, and great latte art. Very sweet and tasty. Espresso, chocolate was good. What did I write here? Yeah, chocolate was good, but maybe a tad too heavy. On the balance of it with the chocolate of it, but nonetheless, it was a great drink. So I gave that drink 4.7 beans. So it was a good week. I had four bean mocha lattes in 1 week. That's a good week for me. That's a good week for me. So getting back to part two, we're going to talk about mashed potatoes, or meat and potatoes rather. The future of coffee and American culture. So I'm going to get back to enjoying my Nutella and coffee, and I'll be right here with you. So I'm not going to go anywhere. Don't worry. I'll be here when you come back. All right. Enjoy.
Disney World, but it will be a thing to do, just like wineries, I believe.
In your view of the industry, where do you see it in, say, 10 years, you know, as compared to where it is today, and how, I mean, because it seems to me, like, as much as I travel, things grow at exponential rate, you know, with coffee shops or springing up. Like, just the other week, I was in middle of nowhere, Kentucky, and the year before there wasn't a coffee shop, and then this year there was a coffee shop with Wi-Fi, the whole thing, and this little, you know, town of 6,500 people in the middle of Kentucky. So where do you see it in your position 10 years from now?
Well, I'm a little bit biased because I always, even before I worked for the roastery, I always root for the mom and pop shops. So I kind of see it in a couple of ways. One way, in the positive side, I see more and more mom and pop, or more roasters or coffee shops having 3 to 10 shops in a city. And a good example of that is Alterra in Milwaukee. I believe they have 8 or 10 shops now. There's a client of ours in Iowa City that has 8 shops, the Java House, and those are great stories. I mean, it's still not franchise, and it's very very good. All the employees are basically family oriented, or they treat one another like family. And so I see it going that direction more and more. I see where American culture is going to seek out these places, just like they have with the restaurants. People now, because of the Food Network, have become foodies. Rachel Ray is the next Martha Stewart, or is the Martha Stewart now. So American culture in general, I think, we're really into food and beverages. And so if that continues to grow, which I think it will, unless something happens to the economy, that will continue to, the coffee bar will be, or coffee shops, coffee cafe will be the next, and kind of is the third place, the place away from home and work. And the things that these mom and pop shops or non-franchise cafes need to do is create this experience for these people, whether it's have a drive-in or a drive-through, whether it's have always have outside seating, whether it's to have a little conference room that you can rent out. It's about us always, and same with the roastery. We don't have a drive-through here, or we don't have a meeting place in here, and those are two things that if we ever grow, that's one thing I would like for us to add. And that's the thing, it's to create this environment where you're giving a good product and also a good service and experience. And if we continue, all of us, to do that, it's gonna be huge. It's gonna be fun. So.
And it's kind of neat that you said about that, because I've heard that third place used quite a bit recently, and that's kind of how coffee shops started. Like, I mean, because coffee shops have been around for hundreds of years, and you go back to Vienna and the original coffee shops, and it's and in America, it's kind of, I guess it used to be like the morning diner that you'd go and hang out, and you'd have coffee, but it'd be like that 25-cent cup of battery acid, that you would just kind of put
and
down.
There's still a lot of that out there.
Yeah. Oh, I've seen
them. Being on the road.
Yeah, I've seen them, but I think it's kind of neat to see that it's changing, that people are kind of making it, treating themselves to, that kind of, like you said, that place away from home, and it's almost like America is developing its own, because in Europe, you go to the cafes and, they that's what they are. They're a communal place, Of course, it's more people walking oriented, in Europe. And here we got to drive everywhere.
Exactly.
But it's neat to see that, America's really
coming. Well, I think as companies such as Whole Foods, as they continue to grow, I think the non-franchise coffee shops will grow too. Whole Foods is a good example of a good... I look at them as sort of a variable as they're moving into more urban areas, that because that's a specialty grocery store. You go there where you have the choice to probably go four or five other grocery stores in the area, but people are deciding to go there and get specialty products. So I think it's me. I love that American culture is getting that way.
To a point where it puts the choice in the hand of the consumer, and whereas before they always assumed that, well, give them the cheapest mass produced thing, and nowadays people are really
well. And I think too, for the younger generation, I have a 3-month-old now, that it might help us even come back to this culture and society where we all eat together, we all drink together with our kids and our family. And now, there's TV going on, and my wife and I are definitely, we're not the best at this, but again, we have a 3-month-old, so he doesn't know what's going on right now. But when there's this interest of throwing something on the table besides hamburger or helper, and being able to describe and educate your children what this is, why it's this color, why it tastes this way, where this is from. I think if we get into that, where before, a couple, generations ago, this came out of the garden, this came from, grandma used to, grow this and so forth. I think we're going to get back into a modern version of that. And with, it's so weird how everything ties in together, but I think with the coffee shops and the little boutique grocers, we have a chance to get back into that society, which will help family life also.
Yeah, that's one thing I noticed recently, was that I think people were given so many more choices now. I mean, you can, in a medium-sized town, you can not only eat at a Thai place, but you can, try, northern Thailand food, or, Indian. You can try northern Indian or southern Indian food, or, like the whole plethora. And so I think, as a... kind of sounds esoteric, but as our palates become more, I can't
find
think of
our guests, our educated palates.
Right. Yeah. And so we crave new and unusual things from what, say, our parents' generation had.
Yeah.
So
with the meat and potato generation.
Right.
Yeah. Which I don't pass up meat and potatoes that much either. So
well, that's comfort food.
You can't. Yeah. Exactly.
So cool. Well, thanks so much, Jason, for sitting down.
Thank
it's,
you.
It's been a blast. And give the contact info for the roastery, all the website.
Yeah, it's theroastery.com, and that's theroastery.com. And the MySpace is myspace.com/theroastery. And then there's also a another MySpace page that's actually, we created. We have a thing called Barista Jams that are class sessions that we do three a year, or we're doing three this year, and there's several class sessions going on at one time. They're always on a Saturday, and we bring in guest speakers and presenters. We have the next one coming up April 14th, and that is the subjects are roasting and cupping coffee. That's one subject, creating signature drinks, and brewing methods, and we're going to introduce the clover machine, which I won't go into the details about the clover, but it's a new form of coffee brewing. Very good stuff. And then that website for that information is myspace.com/MWRBC, MWRBC. And then you can also find that stuff on the Roastery's MySpace page. There's it's a friend and a link to there. So, that's a wrap, and again, my name is Jason, and thanks a lot, Nathan. I really appreciate it. Good talking to you.
Yeah, sure thing. Thanks for coming, Jason. All right, good stuff. So that was a lot of fun getting to sit down, and you may have heard me mention AJ, the barista. Well, he's going to be coming up in 2 weeks. I got to sit down with him and kind of pick his brain and see what's on his mind as far as a barista, and talk about, we talked about all kinds of things, his experience, managing, kind of working there at the cafe, and how he got into it, and his training, and all that good stuff. So it was a good time. So that'll be up in 2 weeks, and then next week, this coming week, as I said earlier, we are in Waco, Texas, and right here in the heart of Texas, I guess you could say. And as it happens, Waco is it's in the same county and just down the road from Crawford, Texas. And Crawford, Texas, if in case you didn't know, is the home of the president of the United States, George W. Bush. And as it just so happens, there is a coffee shop in his hometown. And so I'm going to ride the motorcycle up there this week and check it out. And I don't know if the president listens to this podcast, but if he does, if you're listening, Mr. President, call ahead and tell your people at the coffee shop that I'm going to be coming. I'm going to try out their mocha latte, and I'll probably have lunch there too, I think. But you can give him fair warning. That's okay, Mr. President, if you want to do that. So, yeah, good stuff. And then also next week, as I mentioned before, the other circus boy, Nathan, Nashville, Tennessee. I'm going to have that up there, our chat with him. We talked about all kinds of stuff. He's a valet and also a freelance musician, so quite a interesting, that's his post-circus profession now, because that's, after the circus, you have to do something else just as crazy, I guess, right? So, yeah, so he's going to be on next week, and also I'm going to try to get the ringmistress of the show, Liliana, to come on the show. Now, you're all going to have to help me. You're going to have to send in some email, or you can send an email to bestmochalatte@podomatic.com, or they have a call-in line there. And if you go to bestmochalatte.podomatic.com, which is the homepage for this podcast, and I'll usually put a picture up there and a little blurb about the show that week. But in any case, there's a call-in line on there, and call in and tell Lily that you want her to come on the podcast, because I think with my coaxing and all your requests out there in the internet land around the world, I think she just might come on the podcast, and she's a really cool person. She's multilingual, and she's the singer, not only the ringmistress for the show, but also sings in the show. So very, very talented individual. So yeah, send in an email. Tell her you want her to come on the show for next week. And also, next week is the last clue in the contest. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, well, just listen to last week's podcast or ask someone else who listened to the podcast and figured out the clue. And yeah, it's good stuff. So last but not least, I'm going to leave you with a new exclusive from Mod Dog. He calls this Thaw, and yeah, it's because it was this week's the first time that we've had a chance to kind of thaw out from the cold weather that we've had in the past month. So very good stuff. I like it. And yeah, so that wraps it up for this week. Thanks again to everyone at the Roastery and the Roastery Cafe, especially the Bean Booster Jason. Very, very welcome and very hospitable, and I appreciate their time this week. I had a really good time hanging out there for a little while. So until next week, as always, drink what you like and like what you drink. Take care. Bye.
You said the fool secrecy that I'm studying else. See, you said the fool photographer out somewhere.